I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Thursday is our day for a look at sports, and we do that with our very own Tony Cox. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farai. You know, 4 p.m. Eastern time probably doesn't mean very much to you today unless you're a baseball fan. That's the trade deadline, and there's been a lot of talk and some action over the last 24 hours or so. We've got that story and a lot more sports news for our bloggers to sort through, so let's get right to it. With us is Chad Brown of alphablogsports.blogspot.com and Kevin Figures, blogs at am570radio.com. Hey, guys.
How's it going, Tony?
I'm doing fine. Nice to have you both here. Let's see. Ken Griffey Jr. Goes from the Cincinnati Reds to the Chicago White Sox. Mark Teixeira goes from the Atlanta Braves to the Angels. Pudge Rodriguez goes from the Tigers to the Yankees in a swap for pitcher Kyle Farnsworth. And then there's Manny Rodriguez of the Boston Red Sox, whose fate is going apparently right down to the wire at 4 p.m. Eastern. Last word we had was that Manny was heading to the Florida Marlins. Kevin, what would you do with Manny Ramirez if you were running the Boston Red Sox?
I think you have to ship him out. He's caused too much of a distraction, especially over the last, I'd say, 5 years or so, where I want to be traded, I want to be here, the organization's turned against me. The last time I checked, the organization's paid him about $60 million over the last seven or eight years. I think they really don't owe him anything. So, I mean, for him to be, he sounds kind of ungrateful to me, so I try to ship him out if I can get something good for him.
Now, he plays pretty well. I mean, he may be a pain in the butt, but when he gets on the field, he does what he's paid to do, doesn't he, Chad?
He absolutely does. I mean, they've won two championships with him, but at some point, the Manny being Manny act wears thin. So you have to think about your long-term future and Manny's long-term future, and I agree, it might just be best to part ways before everybody goes nuts here.
One more thing, Kevin. What's been the biggest deal so far, do you think, your way of thinking so far?
I think it's the Mark Teixeira deal to the Angels. They've talked the last few years. They've been a playoff team. They've struggled once they got into the playoffs with their offense, especially with a power bat. And Mark Teixeira brings them a power first baseman that they haven't had in years to stick behind Vlad Guerrero in the lineup and allow them to, like I said, get power in that lineup. That's all they've been missing. They're already the best team in baseball. Now you get one of the best hitters in baseball to join that team. They're clearly the favorite to go to the World Series, I would believe, out the American League.
Well, that may be a good trade, although you may have to have $200 million or something close to it to keep Mark Teixeira in an Angel uniform next season. All right, let's move on. Speaking of deals, let's switch to football and talk about future Hall of Famer Brett Favre, who as of this moment is still a quarterback without a team, or is he? The Packers are acting like a jilted boyfriend who says no one else will ever have you. Put on that GM hat again, Kevin. Actually, let's ask Chad to do it this time. Chad, put on that Green Bay hat. What do you do with number four?
Well, if it were me, I would say, you know what? You want to play? Fine. You come in, you compete for the job, you know, and that way if you win it fair and square, which he's going to, then problem solved. But both sides have handled this very badly. I agree with you in saying that they're treating him like a jilted lover, but he stood up at his retirement press conference and says, I know I can play, I just don't want to. And while he's perfectly entitled to change his mind, the team has moved forward. I wasn't born when Lombardi left the Packers for the Redskins, but this seems like shades of it again. But you have to think, I mean, obviously, based on last year, he would give you the best chance to go to a Super Bowl, but you spent a first-round pick on Aaron Rodgers. At some point, you have to see if he can play. In limited time, he's done well, but you have to see if he can play. Otherwise, as Favre changes his mind before 09 and Aaron Rodgers says, forget it, I'm not going through this again, where are the Packers in terms of quarterback?
Well, Kevin, what I don't understand is how the Packers would even consider saying to Favre, which apparently they did, you know, come to camp, but you're not going to get to do anything. I mean, what's the point of that?
I'm not sure. It's just, I don't know if to save face or to make them feel better. I'm not sure. But he signed it. He sent in the reinstatement paper, so they're going to have to do something with him, whether they trade him or release him, which they said they're not going to release him. I don't know what else they can possibly do with him. They've already told him that he's not going to start. They say he can bring him in for a competition, but it's Brett Favre as a Hall of Famer. The guy's been there for years. He is the Green Bay Packers. And you're going to have him compete with a kid that's never done anything before. So I would think that at the end of the day, they're going to end up trading him. Whether it's to Minnesota, if they have to overpay for him, I think Minnesota would do it. But I don't know if Green Bay has to get rid of him. There's no way they can keep him on that roster. It's too much of a distraction already, and the season hasn't even started.
Well, talking about Aaron Rodgers, the heir apparent, he's been pretty cool about it so far, at least publicly. But what do you think is going through his mind, Chad, knowing that while the team says he is the Packers quarterback of the future. Favre is still right there in the shadows.
Well, everything I've seen and heard, he's handling it like a professional. He's saying, I'm just going to control what I can control. That is going out there and working with the guys that I've been working with the whole offseason, getting ready for the upcoming season. If the rug gets pulled out from under him, he'll deal with it. He'll deal with it there and then. What's going through his mind, though, I have no idea. I mean, if he's human, he must be thinking, oh, great, here we go again.
Absolutely. Well, that's certainly a circus. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Meanwhile, the NFL preseason circus seems to have settled down elsewhere this season. Guys are in camp, ready to go. That includes some of the league's premier clown princes, Chad Johnson of the Bengals, Ricky Williams in Miami, even Adam I Am No Longer Pac-Man Jones in Dallas is in camp, although he hasn't been officially cleared yet by the commissioner to play in the regular season. Kevin, are these headline grabbers going to behave and contribute this year?
I would like to think so. They're kind of different situations. For Chad Johnson, it was a situation this offseason where nobody really knew what his gripe was. He said, well, you never won a championship, but they've been steadily improving since he's been there and Carson has been there. They said, well, it's not really a contract dispute, but he's in camp. He's trying to produce. He still said things aren't completely 100% resolved, but he's still willing to play. Pac-Man Jones has been, you know, in the news over the last few years, arrested 12, 13 times or whatever. He's trying to revitalize his career. He's saying all the right things and doing all the right things, so you can only hope that things will turn out right for him. So I would think for this moment, it seems like things are going well for those guys. So I would hope that those guys would turn their lives around and do well.
What about Ricky Williams, Chad, down in Miami?
I've heard nothing but good things. He really seems to have taken a shine to Parcells, even though Bill is not coaching the team. He's definitely mentoring him. He's being positive with him. And by all accounts, Ricky has shown up. He's worked hard. I think Ricky realizes that some of the moves he made back in 2004 with the retirement and the I'd rather smoke weed and all the other stuff, it's really impacting his legacy. Plus, I mean, it's still a bottom line business. He still is in tremendous debt. And I think he understands that this is his last shot, and by all accounts, he's giving it his best. And the Dolphins are happy about this because Ronnie Brown is still coming off that knee injury, so they may very well need Ricky. I mean, we all know the Dolphins are probably not going to be very good, but it's an advantage for Ricky if he can perform, whether he's going to be a Dolphin long term or be a trade asset. I mean, it seems like no news from Ricky is good news at this point.
I guess you're right about that. One more NFL note before we move on. The NFL begins its preseason games this weekend in Canton, Ohio, with the NFL Hall of Fame game. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony is Saturday, and former Washington Redskin wide receiver Art Monk can finally mark his calendar in red because after, what, 8 tries, he's getting in. What took so long, Kevin?
I can't tell you. It's with the NFL, with most of these Hall of Fames, it seems to be all politics. I don't understand why Art Monk's one of the best receivers of all time, has the greatest numbers. Why did Lynn Swann wait 14 years to get in? His numbers weren't that great, but it took him forever to get in. He finally did. Paul Hornung took forever for him to get in. He was on the ballot. But compared to Art Monk to, let's say, from the Dallas Cowboys, the wide receiver,
Michael Irvin,
who only took him, I believe, 2 or 3 years of eligibility. Why would it take Monk so long? And take Irvin not so long when Monk's numbers are so much better. I believe it's all politics.
All right, let's move on to another sport, Chad. That's the NBA. Bad boy Ron Artest has a new address, Houston. The Sacramento Kings shipped him to the Rockets to join superstars Tracy McGrady and Yao Ming. They made the playoffs with just McGrady last year after Yao got hurt. Now with T-Mac and Yao and Artest, look out, Western Conference. That seems to be a good fit, or does it? Given the reaction today from Yao, who's in Beijing. Chad, what do you say?
I think it's a good move, in part because Rick Adelman knows him, even though it was just half a season. And if you put him on the floor with T-Mac and Yao, that frees you up both offensively and defensively. And more importantly, it hurts the competition that couldn't get him, i.e. the Lakers. So I think if he keeps his head on straight, he'll be fine. That's obviously a concern. I'm guessing that's what Yao was talking about. But it's kind of like with some of those other NFL guys. You know, Ron has got to understand that he's pretty much, even though he didn't do anything horrible in Sacramento, he's running out of chances here. So if you can't perform surrounded by this type of caliber, then I don't know what to say. Are you going to go cut another rap record that no one's going to buy?
Well, you know what he said today. He said, I'm ghetto. You know, and I'm ghetto, and that's it. I'm ghetto, and I'm going to be ghetto. And Yao needs to understand that I'm ghetto. Isn't that what he said, Kevin?
That's exactly what he said.
So, I'm sorry. I didn't get that. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, he just kept saying in terms of Yao was asking whether or not he was going to behave. And he said, he being Artest back to Yao, I'm ghetto. I'm from a ghetto culture, and I represent it in a way that Yao's never seen, and that's just how it's going to be. I would think, Kevin, that that could be a problem for this team.
Yeah, just a tiny problem. I don't know if it's just guys exchanging words. I mean, they haven't gotten together yet. They haven't met up at training camp. I'm sure there are words from halfway across the country, from Ron Artest to Yao Ming over in China. So you would like to think that these things would calm over, and it's just – Yao knows what Ron's reputation is around the league, so this is I can understand why he would have concerns about it. Ron basically says, "I don't care. I am who I am, and you're going to have to accept it." And I guess the trade is on the cusp of being done, so they're going to have to deal with it whether they want to or not.
They certainly will. Let's talk about somebody else being on the move. Former NBA referee Tim Donaghy on the move to jail Tuesday, sentenced to 15 months in prison for betting on games and passing on inside information to the gamblers. 15 months, was it too much or not enough, Chad?
I honestly don't know. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. He wasn't the only one doing this, but at the same time, you have to wonder if he's being presented as he knowingly did this or he was an addict, therefore he wasn't responsible for his actions, which I personally don't buy. I kind of feel like the sentencing is in conjunction with the league trying to sweep this under the rug, because they had a very good image thus far this year, except for this black eye, which is a stain on their credibility. So I honestly don't know here. I think he should do time, and I'd still like to find out what exactly happened in that Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals that everyone was talking about.
Yeah, a lot of people would like to know what happened there. Talking about image, we're going to bring our conversation to a close, Kevin, with this. Are you bothered, just you personally, by the fact that a couple of American-born basketball players, Chris Kaman of the L.A. Clippers, Becky Hammond of the WNBA, are playing for foreign teams against the U.S. in the Beijing Olympics? Kaman is playing for the Germans. Hammond is playing for the Russians. Some folks see it as treason because they don't really have any connection to these other countries. How do you see that?
I would sort of agree with that. You were born in America. You were raised in America. Whether or not you're eligible to play for another team's national team based on a technicality because your grandparents grew up there, that has nothing to do with you. The fact that Chris Kaman and Becky Hammond were born, raised here, played here in college and in the pros, they have no allegiance whatsoever to these other countries. I don't think they should be allowed to play for the other countries.
But the U.S. team didn't want them.
Well, I mean, you know, that's tough break. But you're not a Russian citizen. You're not a German citizen. That's, like I said, in my personal opinion, as not being a citizen of those countries, you should not be able to play for those countries.
What do you say, Chad?
I'm going to have to agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, if you couldn't play, I mean, obviously you want to play, you can applaud the desire, but if you're not fully from that country, and you shouldn't be eligible to play for it. I mean, that may sound cold and reverse xenophobic, but that's pretty much where I stand.
That's all you said. All right, this is my very last question to the both of you. U.S. men's basketball team in Beijing, are they going to come home with gold, bronze, or silver, or egg on their face?
This team is on a mission. They're going for gold. They're going to win it all.
What do you say, Chad?
I'm with you, too. You've got guys who weren't able to play last time. We're going to play this time. They're going to show and prove.
All right. I appreciate very much having you guys for the Sports Bloggers Roundtable. Kevin Figures blogs about sports for AM570Radio.com. He joined us right here at our NPR West studios. And Chad Brown writes for AlphaBlogSports.blogspot.com. He joined us from our NPR studios in New York.